Hi, everyone. Welcome to the West Wellness and Longevity Podcast. My name is Tara West, and I am a functional nutritionist, passionate about how we can use food as medicine and truly heal our bodies. I'm also obsessed with longevity with a love for peptides, fitness, and all the latest and greatest biohacking resources. I spend hours upon hours looking at the latest research and implementing them into my own life and in my practice with my clients. I look forward to sharing all of this wonderful information with you. Hey guys, quick reminder, this podcast is for information purposes only and not meant to treat or diagnose. So please consult with your personal health practitioner prior to implementing anything that you hear about on this show. Now on to the next episode. Okay, welcome back everyone. I hope you have had an amazing Labor Day. I'm actually set to release this episode right after Labor Day, and that was completely intentional on my part. Before we get started, I just wanted to just say thank you to all of the school ladies that are now members of that group. And I say school, that is a platform that you can create communities in. And school is S-K-O-O-L. And through the advice and nudging of one of the listeners, Angela, big shout out to you, I decided to start a forum for women and peptide discussions. And the name of it is called the Women's Peptide Collective. I will put a link in the show notes to this, but you can also go on the school platform, S-K-O-O-L, and search the Women's Peptide Collective or just Women's Peptide Collective. I think it was too lengthy for me to put the in there or the, and you can join. So go do that. We've got a great group of ladies on there. You get access to all of their experiences. It's very collaborative. It's very encouraging. I also put special discounts and stuff like that for the Peptique on there. You'll be the first to know about all the what the Peptique is going to be launching as far as products. There's a lot of new products we have coming up the pipeline for the Peptique, and that is really based on all of your feedback. So continue giving that to me and just continue reaching out. I love it when y'all reach out, and I love being able to answer your questions and just have that sense of community with my listeners. It's super fun for me. All that being said, let's see what else. Baylor played their first football game on Friday night to Auburn, and we lost. We played terribly, but I still love my Baylor Bears. We've got a whole season ahead of us. We just didn't start as strong, but I have faith that we're going to do better. I think that's it. But it's a good segue into today's topic. And I was inspired to do this particular topic when I was in the gym. I don't know why. I often get inspired when I'm in the gym because my mind's just going and active at that point in time. And so I came up this one particular day, like three episodes hit me all at once on things I wanted to talk about. And so I go into my notes app and I write them down so I don't forget. I think what prompted this one in that particular moment is it was right on the cusp of me really trying to get back on track after the summer. And so the title says My Summer Confessions, because I think a lot of people out there just assume that I've always got it perfectly together, and I'm human like everybody else, and I do not have it perfectly together. And just like most of you, I had a fun summer. I turned 50 this summer. I celebrated with my family and my friends. I didn't necessarily hold back as much on what I ate and what I drank. And my schedule got off as far as my sleep and my exercise. I've been completely out of my normal routine. I started the Peptique, and so that obviously was a huge undertaking and kind of got me out of my day in, day out rhythm. My kids are no longer in school anymore. They're all the way through. My youngest just graduated this summer from college, and so we're done there. But even that being said, kids go back to school, schedules start to get back in sync, and this is the time of year where we start to refocus. And I think it's really important to refocus now, because before we know it, we're going to be in the holidays, and we're going to have to take measures to try to stay on track during the holidays and not get off like I know a lot of us do during the holidays. So the time is right now. Start today. Don't say I'll start next week, or I will start in a couple of days, or I've got this coming up, I'm going to wait till after that. No, That's the first tip, is start right now. I used to do this all the time. I would just put it off. I've got this week and blah, 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 whatever. If you blow it on one meal, this was life-changing for me. And I can't remember where I heard this from. But if you blow it on one meal, don't just blow the rest of the day, which then leads into the rest of the week with your nutrition. Start that with that next meal. Get back on track with that next meal. That is your next opportunity to start to make lasting change. And I think often what we do is we look at this big picture like, oh my gosh, I totally blew it over the summer. And I did blow it over the summer, and it's time for me to get back on track. And so let's take small steps to get there. Normally I have a bunch of notes with bullet points and all the things that I go through for these episodes, but this is really just me off the cuff talking with a few little notes here and there that I made to stay on track of the things that I struggle with to get back on track. And some just tips that have really helped me over the years to get refocused when we need to get back on track. So the first thing I'm going to start with will not surprise you, and that is sleep, okay? Sleep is the foundation for energy, mood, hormone balance, and longevity. And I think what we fail to recognize, and I've come across this a lot, not only in my own personal experience, but when I was deep in consulting with people about making lifestyle changes, about how it can wreak havoc on our hormones and stuff. And when I say hormones, most people immediately go to our sex hormones, our estrogen, our testosterone, our progesterone, that sort of thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our appetite hormones. And so sleep deprivation is shown to elevate ghrelin, and this is what makes us hungry, okay? And it actually suppresses leptin, which is the hormone that makes us feel full. That's the satiety hormone. And this leads to increased hunger and food intake. And one study showed that just 4 nights of restricted sleep led to a 28% rise in ghrelin, that hunger hormone, and an 18% drop in leptin, which is a satiety hormone, and a 24% increase in reported hunger. Sleep-deprived brains also show heightened activation in the reward centers and weaker activity in control areas. This just really sets us up for those high cravings, junk food that we're all so susceptible to eating. It's also shown to reduce our metabolism and our insulin resistance. So reduced sleep impairs glucose metabolism. One trial found that sleep-deprived participants took 40% longer to regulate blood sugar after a carb-heavy meal, with insulin response dropping by 30%. Poor sleep also triggers cortisol secretion at abnormal times, and this promotes fat storage, especially around that midsection. And I see this in so many people. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Cortisol is that jolt that gives us energy. It makes us move and go. And so if we're sleep deprived, our natural cortisol rhythms are going to get off, and our body's going to say, we need more of that. And so it's going to start releasing it at times we don't want it. And that's what really makes us hold on to fat storage. So I can't stress enough that sleep is so important. I've done several episodes on sleep. Go back and listen to them. At the end of this episode, I'm going to talk about some peptide stacks that can help with each individual thing that I'm discussing today. So we'll get to that. But what are just some common disruptors that we often don't think about? Blue light screens late at night. Yes, that's our laptops, that's our phones, our iPads, our smart TVs. I have those amber lens glasses that I try to wear at night, even though everyone makes fun of me. But if it's going to help with my sleep, I really don't care. We need to be better about getting off our phones and our laptops and all of that. And if you have a smart TV, which I would say 99.9% of the American population does, try some of those blue blocking glasses. You can get them on Amazon super cheap, and they do work. They're scientifically proven to work. Caffeine and alcohol, both of those are big disruptors. If you are a slow processor of caffeine, that's a genetic thing. It can stay in your system 4 to 5 times as long as someone who is not a slow metabolizer of caffeine. And so we need to limit our caffeine intake, particularly towards the end of the day. And alcohol is known to just wreak havoc on our sleep. And so we need to start getting in the habit of not drinking as much. You're one of those people that tends to do that more in the summertime, which I am. So I'm working on not doing that as much right now. And overtraining or late night workouts are often very much sleep disruptors. It increases our insulin. It can increase our stress hormones, cortisol. And so it's going to make it harder to go to sleep and get us back into that natural rhythm. So try to lean your workouts, if you can, towards earlier in the day. And again, routine is going to be a big theme here. Have a consistent sleep schedule, a wake time and a sleep schedule. I'm one of those people that I'll start, my husband gets so mad at me, we'll start a show or something at night. Oh, let's just watch one more episode and it's 9:30. No, I like to be in bed by 10. That's what works for me. And if I start another episode, it's going to be 10:30. And by the time I do my night routine with washing my face and all the creams and all the stuff, then it's 11 o'clock before I get in bed and I've blown it. That schedule is important. And then you'll start to naturally reset your wake schedule by timing your bedtime schedule appropriately. And these are just some things that really helped me. Dark, cool, quiet environment. My husband's a frugal one out of the two of us. And so when I set the thermostat, I set it at 67 to 68 degrees every night. We live in Texas. It's hot here in the summer. It's not as big of a deal in the winter to do that. But when I started showing my husband the scientific proof about sleeping in a colder space helps you sleep better, he finally acquiesced to me and allows me to put the thermostat at a lower temperature. And he actually noticed that he slept better. So now it's not so much a fight between us. Try to wind down with those screens and stuff 30 minutes or so before bed. That's hard. Look, I struggle with that. I always want to check my phone. I'm always responding to comments. I get a lot of comments from y'all at night. I always want to make sure I'm responsive. And I'm really bad about doing that. So I'm telling you this because you should do it. But again, this is about confessions. This is one that I struggle with, but we should all be doing it. Weighted blanket helps for some people. That doesn't really help with me. White noise does. I do have a sound machine in my room. Love the white noise. Blackout curtains, that really helps with me. I actually sleep with a sleep mask on that actually has copper in it, supposed to help with skin inflammation. Anyway, that's a whole different episode right there. But I don't think people realize all the little bitty lights and stuff that we have on in our rooms, how they can actually really be disruptive. So wearing a sleep mask and stuff is really important. I also sleep with my phone and electronics and stuff away from the bedroom, away from my head, not right by my head because of the EMF exposure that you can get from that, which also is, there's a lot of research that's coming out that can be extremely disruptive to sleep as well. And do things like first morning sun. Don't get on your phone the second you roll out of bed. Again, this is one that I struggle with. I'll get up, get out of bed, grab my phone and come back and sit down and start going through it. And I've really been trying to work at not doing that, opening my curtains, going outside, getting that first morning sun. This is scientifically proven to help set your circadian rhythm and get that natural melatonin release at the right times. So it's really important to do that. I mentioned this earlier, exercising earlier in the day. And then there are things like magnesium, glycine, things like that can really help at night for calming. And again, we'll talk about peptides a little bit later. The last but not least with the sleep, and I'm spending the most amount of time on this one because I feel like sleep sets the stage for everything else that we're going to talk about. And it's really not a topic that I feel like is being discussed enough. We all talk about weight loss. We all talk about optimizing our hormones, all the things. But none of that stuff is going to matter if we don't have optimal sleep. So the last thing I'll mention about sleep is track it. Really see how much deep sleep, restorative sleep, and REM sleep you're actually getting so you know if it's restorative or not. I talked to so many people that said, yes, I slept for 7 or 8 hours, but they're getting 30 minutes of deep sleep and maybe only 45 minutes of REM. And that is not enough. And those trackers can really give you some important information. And then you can start to do specific things to try to get that restorative sleep back in play. All right, let's move on. The next thing won't surprise you. Some of you may have thought this would be my first one. But again, I already mentioned why sleep is so important, but a nutrition reset, because it doesn't matter what you do. You can't work out hard enough to offset a really crappy nutrition plan. And I know if you've listened to me at all too, I don't like the word diet because I feel like diet just means something temporary or, oh, I'm going on a diet. A nutrition plan you don't go on. A nutrition plan you come up with and you stay on it and it becomes your normal. It's what you do day in, day out. And yes, I was not as strict about my nutrition this summer. But what I will tell you is that over the years, my norm for that has changed. 80 to 90% is the threshold for me of where I want to be eating very clean, really lean towards the 90%. And the summer, that's probably going to lean more towards the 20%. My timing on my meals and stuff often really gets off during the summer because I'm not on a schedule as much as I normally am. And so those are the things that I really have to get back in focus. But what I will tell you is that the biggest mistake I see people make here is that they don't have a plan. You can go and buy all this stuff at the grocery store, but if you don't have a plan for it to set yourself up for success, it's not going to just magically appear in the form you need it to and in your mouth, right? You have to plan for these things. And nutrition is one of the top things that you have to plan for, or it's just not going to happen. It's like working out. If you just think, maybe I'll get a workout on today, that's not going to work. Or maybe I'll eat healthy today. What's your plan for that? And so this is where I often see people get off track is with this. And so start simple. People, we overcomplicate the nutrition thing. It's really not that difficult. We need to get rid of all the ultra processed foods out of our pantry. There's no place for them in the house. Get them out. And one of the things that I'm really guilty about falling back on as a crutch during busy times are the protein bars and the pre-mixed protein shakes. Yes, you've heard me preach about how those are not good for you, and they're not. You probably also heard me say this if you listen to some of the earlier episodes, make the better bad choice. And what I mean by that is if you have a big giant cheeseburger with mayonnaise and all the bacon and all the stuff on it with French fries in front of you, or your other option is a protein bar or a pre-mixed protein shake, the better bad choice is going to go to the latter, right? That's what I mean by the better bad choice. And so I always have those handy, but then when they start becoming more of the rule instead of the exception, that's where you get into trouble. So we want to limit those, but we want to have clean proteins, organic, pasture-raised, grass-fed proteins, wild-caught salmon, things like that. And so we really want to prioritize those. We need to start with the protein because we lose muscle mass as we age. And we all know that muscle mass is huge for longevity and wellness overall. So prioritize the protein. I say the goal is to get to 1 gram per desired lean muscle mass. You're going to hear a lot of different schools of thought out there about this. This is what I strive for. So if you want to weigh 140 pounds, you need to be eating 140 grams of lean protein every day. I promise you, if you do this, you are not going to be hungry. So start there. And then the other thing I say is load in as much color with fruit and vegetables as you possibly can. Last night, I made this slaw that I like to make that has red cabbage and green cabbage and carrots, and you can throw seasonings in it like cilantro. Point is to make your plate colorful, and that's going to get the right carbohydrates on your plate mixed with the protein. And then you can layer in some healthy fats with avocados or things like that. And if you do that, you're going to feel full. It's when we start depleting those nutritional sources and eating all the junk food and the processed food where we constantly want to go back for more. It's how those foods are made and how our brain responds to them that gets us in trouble. And like I said, planning for all this is key. I usually cook twice a week. So I'll do a big meal prep on Sundays usually, and then again around Wednesday, Thursday to get us through the rest of the week. So I'm cooking a lot of things at one time, but I'm not having to cook every single night. And that's really important and the key to success for these things. And so go in there, clean out that pantry, clean out that fridge, just do a total reset with this, and you're going to start to feel so much better immediately. Okay, let's talk about exercise. This, again, is something that I just really got off track on over the summer. We were traveling some and then starting the Peptique and all those things. It just went on the back burner. For me, my workouts tend to be what suffer first. That's how I know I'm getting off track, because I'll just tell myself that I don't have time. And it doesn't take long for me to start noticing the negative side effects of that, which I definitely did. I could tell I was losing some muscle tone. I could tell I just wasn't feeling as good. And so I'm starting to get back on track on that. But ease back into it. Okay. Don't try to make up for missed time. Don't overtrain. We need to let our bodies recover so we can stay on track and not put too much stress on our bodies where we don't feel like doing it anymore. If you're not big into working out or you've never really worked out, start slow. Start with trying to get a certain amount of steps in. If you're very sedentary, start with 5,000, then go up to, 7,500, then go up to the 10,000 steps or more. Start with that. And then I would say slowly start adding some weight training in. You don't have to belong to a gym. You can get some hand weights off Amazon. There's all kinds of body weight movements that you can do to start layering in strength training. But start slow. Don't overwhelm your system. And again, this is something that you layer over time, but you also have to make a plan for it. And so one of the things that I started doing is no matter what's going on, when I get up in the morning, I immediately put on my workout clothes, wash my face, brush my teeth, put on the workout clothes. So I am already set in that trajectory that I'm going to the gym. And before all the emails start piling in and all the things I have to do starts to add up on my list, I put that aside and I go to the gym first. If I wait till the afternoon, I would say probably 90% of the time, it is not going to happen. That's for me. I think a lot of research shows that most people do better working out in the mornings and have more consistency with adhering to a workout schedule when they go in the mornings. And look, I don't work out every single day. I usually do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday strength training schedule, and then I'll do 1 or 2 days of cardio in between. So I'm working out anywhere from 4 to 5 days a week, but I always have 2 full rest days off. And this is really important because you're allowing your body to recover between the workouts so you can get those gains, so you can continue to push through and continue to increase your muscle mass, your stamina, as far as cardiovascular health and all those things that go with a healthy workout schedule. Now, I said planning was going to be a theme here. You have to plan for your sleep time schedule. Turn off that TV. Know you're going to bed at the same time every night. Plan for your nutrition. Prepare ahead, have that healthy food ready to grab and go at any given time. Plan your workouts. Get up in the morning and make that the first thing that you do, okay? So working on all those things simultaneously will slowly get you back on track. And I can already tell you, I've been doing this for a few weeks now, and I already am starting to feel just more like myself and so much better. And you forget how when you get off, because it creeps up on you, how you really don't feel great until you start feeling better again. But let's go into the different peptide stacks that I think can help get you back on track that have really helped me. You've heard me talk about probably all of these. We're going to go in the same order. So let's do sleep. I just recently did some episodes on this, so this won't be surprising. I'm going to tell you to pair the DSIP, the deep sleep inducing peptide, with Epitalon. The two of these together just synergistically work so beautifully. The Epitalon is going to get your circadian rhythm back on track. It's going to help your body release more of its natural melatonin, which is the hormone that helps us sleep at night and super important for longevity and anti-aging. And the DSIP, the deep sleep inducing peptide, is going to help give you more of that really deep restorative sleep. To put it really simply, I say the DSIP helps you have better, more efficient, effective sleep. And the Epitalon is what's going to help you stay asleep throughout the night. So you get the restorative aspect from the DSIP, and then you get the melatonin support and circadian rhythm support for long-term sleep health from the Epitalon. Okay, let's see, what's next? Oh, another great one, because we're all out in the sun more, most of us in the summer. I know that I was. So the GHKCU, which I just did the episode on last week, the Glow Stack, which I've done an episode on that before, one of those would be great because the GHKCU is already in the Glow Stack. But if you want to just do the GHKCU on its own, it's so restorative and reparative to our skin. It's a great one to do after the summer. And then just for energy efficiency, I like things like NAD Plus is one of my favorites. Mitochondrial Health, you've got the MOTC. That's another really good one to help with energy. You can stack those together or you can take them separately. But I think that's a really good one. We're wanting to get back in the routine and start everything again, but we're just not quite feeling 100% yet. this is going to help you, give you that extra energy and boost and drive to go out there and do some of these things. And then last but not least, with the peptides, I want to talk about the GLPs and how we need to start reframing that conversation, because I hear from so many of you about, I don't know about that. I feel like that's cheating. I feel like that's the easy button, so on and so forth. And first of all, let me say this, the GLP, the research out there, what the GLPs are starting to show, and a lot of you already know this, is how it's this great anti-inflammatory tool that lowers the chronic inflammation that we all struggle with just from the pure nature of the world that we live in today. It's also showing, it's showing great promise for things like helping people with addiction because of how it hits our dopamine receptors. It is showing great promise on with helping people with hormone balance, because once we start to get our insulin sensitivity back in control, a lot of our hormones start to come back in control too. And I can't tell you how many people I've seen this in lab work when I've been consulting with people having thyroid issues and overall hormone issues, how just the GLP alone helps them get back in balance. And so we need to stop looking at this as just something for weight loss. And I think what happens is that in the environment that we live in today with all the ultra-processed foods, we have to remember that those foods were scientifically created literally to hit our dopamine receptors and tell us that we want to come back for more. And we are inundated with it on a daily basis. It is everywhere around us all the time. And so we need to be making those really healthy food choices like I just talked about. But getting the GLPs in, particularly on a lower dose, to help with our insulin sensitivity and regulation, to help with our overall inflammation, to help with things like how food hits our brains so we can make those really healthy choices, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I've done this both ways. I've done it where I had to be absolutely perfect all the time, and that was great, and that worked. And then I've done it where I've had the GLPs come in, like I'm doing now, and they help get my brain back on track with those things. So then I can cycle off of it. You don't necessarily have to stay on these things long term, but it's a really good tool to have to help get you started so you can literally get in the right mindset. And so I think we really need to reframe that conversation. There shouldn't be any guilt or shame wrapped around taking a GLP. I've seen it quite literally change people's lives. Okay, so just to recap, I'm going to start with your sleep. You're going to layer in the good nutrition. You're going to start getting back on a good workout routine. You can layer in some of these peptides to really help push you along and motivate you even further. But like I said earlier, I think the key is to not delay starting the reset. Start the reset now. Start with one thing. If all of these things seem overwhelming, pick one and then layer in the next one. And eventually you're going to get there, but you have to start somewhere. And so I'm going to end with that. But before I let you go, I just want to remind you, like I said earlier, about the school platform. If you're interested in that, go check it out. I put a lot of information in the show notes, how to find that school platform if you can't find it, how to reach out to me if you have any questions. And there's always a discount code for the Peptique in there as well. And so just don't be afraid to reach out to me for any of those things, or go look at the show notes. And a lot of the information is right there. And go like this podcast. Please go share it with all your friends and family if you love it, because that really helps me to continue to do the things that I love to do, which is share all this information with all of y'all. So that's it. And until next time, y'all have a blessed day.